From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
What's up, friends? Welcome back to the Whoa, That's Good podcast. Today we have two very special guests, and they're actually in the house with us. They have a new book out called Sister Roar, and it is none other than my grandma and my aunt, Miss K, as y'all know, Memo K for me, and Aunt Lisa. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. We're glad we're here.
I am so glad y'all are here. This is going to be so much fun, and I can't believe y'all haven't been on the podcast already, but now we have a really fun reason to be on the podcast.
Well, you know, I was so excited to be on your podcast that I came a month early.
I know.
So I'm up here and I'm like, and I'm saying, Kay, hurry up and get here. Hurry up and get here. And then I call Sadie. Sadie, when are you going to be here? And she's like, it's next month.
I know. I'm like, what? And you're like, I'm in your studio. I'm like, why?
Now, I'm the old person here. I should be the one that forgets, right?
I know. That was really funny. I'm sorry you had to get dressed twice, but you look great.
That's all right. That's
you look great.
No problem.
I don't know if y'all have seen Masterminds, but there's a quote in it, and the wife had to get ready so many times, and he goes, well, third time's a charm. You look great. Well, I got to ask you the question I ask everyone on this podcast. What is the best piece... You're good. What is the best piece of advice that you've ever been given? Moa Kay, you want to go first?
I do. And it was my grandmother, who I lived with a lot growing up more. I think I stayed more with her than at home. And she told me, as we were sitting in a swing, just talking in the evening, and she always talked about good things. But she said, I want you to remember that when you marry, it's for life.
Well,
and you will stay with your husband through thick and thin. Mm. And, you know, no matter what kind of trouble comes your way, that you say, I made a vow to God and I'm keeping it.
Wow. And look, you did.
And 64 years later.
Yeah.
Here I am.
That's amazing. I want to stop there for a second and talk about that because, you know, now y'all are still married and you have this legacy of grandkids, great grandkids. You have a famous family, which is probably really crazy to even think of. I'm sure you never thought that would happen.
No.
And you're still married, but y'all went through a lot of hard times. And so through those
10 years
of hard times, and some people might have heard that, some people might not have, but what was that like during those times? Do you feel like that piece of advice really helped you get through?
I know it did.
Yeah. Wow.
There's no way. Because I had family on my family on Phil's family say, you need to leave him. You need to leave him. Mm. You need to leave him. And then I was kind of alone saying, I'm not leaving.
Wow.
I mean, I made a vow and I'm not going.
Wow.
And then the only way it was broke was when Phil told us that we had to leave.
Wow.
I mean, he literally kicked us out of our trailer.
Wow. That's crazy. How did that... Tell a little bit about that redemption story. From the time he kicked y'all out of your trailer to the time he came back, what was that time period?
Oh, it was... We lived in the Pine Terrace Apartments, little inexpensive, based on your salary, which I was just working, making like $250 a month. That's all I had.
Wow.
But I did have the White's Ferry Road Church to help me so much. And, you know, just this horrible feeling. And every night I told my kids, we'll pray for Phil. And then we took, you know, when I took my stuff from the house when he wasn't there, I took the black and white TV. I took he's the man doing the trouble, but I consider he likes that TV so much. We'll get the little one.
Wow.
And then doing all that kind of stuff. And, you know, every day our boys would just pray with us, me together with Phil, to change and come to God.
Wow.
And do that. But while we were waiting and not knowing, my boys got involved in the Pink Bus Ministry and they won awards for bringing the most people to church.
Wow, that's awesome.
And see, it kept our mind doing off of other things than just feeling sorry for ourselves.
Yeah.
And that we wouldn't, but
wow.
I'm telling you, what he found out in that 3 or 4 months that he was gone was what he thought he wanted, the bachelor life, the do anything you want life. And he called it finding his freedom.
Wow.
He said, that wasn't my freedom at all.
Wow.
And so when he came to my work and was down in the old gray truck, and my friend and I were just coming back from lunch, and we saw him, and she said, oh, no, Phil's here. Do you think he'll bring a gun and kill us all? And I was like, no, you saw too much TV about that. I said, and she said, well, you never know. And I said, well, I'm going out to talk to him because I don't want him to come into the office maybe and, you know, start.
Make a scene.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of how he was back then.
Oh, it was. He didn't care what he said or who he said or anything. So I went out there, and when I opened the door, he was leaned over the steering wheel, and I thought, oh, he's drunk. But no. He was, tears were coming down his eyes. I've never seen him cry.
Wow.
And they were coming down his eyes, and he said, I can't live without you. I can't live without my family. I don't want to be without my family. I don't want what I've been doing. He said, I want to be back.
Wow.
And he said, and I told him I had to be very brave. And, you know, because I love this where he was so humbled.
Yeah.
And what I had to say was, I said, Phil, you need to change your life and you need to come to somebody. And he said, God? Hmm. I said, yep. And his son, Jesus Christ. And then he said, I don't know how.
Wow.
And, you know, it showed you knew he's known all that, but it wasn't personal to him.
Yeah, totally.
And so that night, we made a deal that he would follow me home at 5:30 to my apartment. And all the boys were so glad to see him.
Aww,
and they said,
sweet.
Daddy, can you please bring back that color TV? We have to watch this little old TV, and it's not good at all. And Mama wouldn't take the color when she left it for you.
Aww.
And he said, yeah, I'll bring it tomorrow. And they said, well, what about tonight? And he said, no, because after I agreed, you know, to talk to him,
yeah.
And we had that session with Bill Smith.
Yeah.
Well, first it was just, we talked to him, and then he wanted just to talk to Phil.
Wow.
So we did that, and the kids and I were back in the bedroom. They were had their heads to or trying to hear what he was saying. I said, Lee, no, he knows what to say, Bill Smith, you know.
Wow.
And they said, well, what if Daddy says a cuss word? I said, I'm sure Bill Smith has heard that before. And he's not
sweet.
A Christian. He doesn't have Jesus. So he's going to say whatever. And, you know, it is embarrassing for you and me and everybody else. But when your own, when the devil's in you, that's what he wants you to do.
Yeah.
And then he said, Alan said, will Jesus ever be in Daddy? And he said, I said, yes.
Wow.
I know it because he's agreed to even talk about it.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, he came every night for 3 nights and I let Phil stay then.
Yeah.
And then we came back and there's a big note on the door and it said, come to the church right away. So me and the boys, it was 3 of them. We loaded up and ran. And when we walked in the back of the church, they were in the baptistry.
Wow.
And Bill Smith was asking him, who's going to be the Lord of your life?
Hmm.
And he said, Jesus Christ. And he said, you know, a couple of more things. I don't remember. And then I looked down at my boys, and just tears were rolling down their eyes.
That's awesome.
And they said, Jason said, does that mean that the devil's not going to be living in Dad now? And I said, that's exactly what that means. He's going to have Jesus. And Jason, all of the boys said, but what if he goes to church and says a cuss word? I said, well, you know what? It's called grace.
Yeah.
We'll forgive him because he has to learn how to live right.
Yeah.
He doesn't know.
Yeah.
He hadn't been that way. So that was our beginning of the, he was 28, I was 27.
Wow.
And Alan and Jason remember the most of it. And Alan, I mean, he was just, Alan had helped me so much that I probably would have had a nervous breakdown.
Wow.
but he was a little man at a young age.
Yeah.
And I felt so bad. I said, you didn't get to play baseball and do all those things kids do because you were helping me with the kids.
Hmm.
And you know what he said? Alan said, Mom, I did exactly what God wanted me to do. And I did not need all that.
Wow.
I needed my family. And see, that's when so many people throw in the towel. And look what we went through.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here we are and made a difference, I believe.
Spring is a great time to start something new, right? So whether it's cleaning or a new hobby or a new audiobook, a good story is always a great way to start a new journey, and Audible has all that you need. I come from a family of great storytellers, so I know Audible is the home of storytelling, which is where I want to be. Audible lets you enjoy all your favorite audio entertainment together in one app. There's always something new to discover, or you can rediscover some of your old favorites. Audible has an incredible selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestsellers, new releases, memoirs, mysteries and thrillers, business and more. It is the destination for mind-blowing entertainment with selections of mystery and thrillers that will keep your heart racing. And with next listen recommendations, there's always something irresistible at your fingertips. Plus, members get full access to a huge and growing selection of included audiobooks and Audible originals and even podcasts like Well That's Good. So you can download them or stream them anytime, anywhere. Audible members can also pick one title each month to keep from the entire catalog, which is some serious benefits, y'all. The newly included selection of titles makes your Audible membership even more valuable and gives you the chance to discover your next favorite thing. With thousands of titles available, you're definitely going to find something that you love all in one convenient app. So I know some of you are into, you know, thrillers, crime, mystery, and I gotta be honest, that's not really been my thing. So I told Bella, okay, Bella, tell me what I could like listen to that wouldn't scare me, but I would like be into it. And she told me about this title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And so I started it and John Luke loved it too. And so I'm just now on the cusp of it. And y'all, let me tell you, it is very entertaining. You do want to listen to see what happened next. So if y'all are into that, Audible is a great place to find those too. New members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or just text woe to 500-500. That's Audible, audible.com/woe or text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days.
I mean, if we're being honest, there's so many people listening to this podcast who feel the exact same way that y'all felt. Maybe their story looks different, but they feel like, I want to throw in the towel. I want to give up. My life is not what I thought it was going to look like.
Yeah.
Maybe my marriage is falling apart that I thought was going to be forever. Maybe my kids are not getting to do the stuff because we don't have money. And here you are, given so much hope. And it's not saying, but look at where we're at because we're this or that. It's like, look at where we're at because we have Jesus. Like,
yeah,
look at
is.
What happened because Jesus came into
he
our
would have
family.
Never changed without Jesus.
Yeah, like that was the thing.
But, and that, I think some about the verse of how the wife's behavior
mm-hmm.
can lead their husbands.
Yeah.
And I think in that, and I'm not bragging on myself, it was only because I came to Christ at 27.
Oh, totally.
And so it was just like from then, you know, it was the real deal, you know.
Wow.
And I had told, when I prayed at Waitsville Road, when Bill studied with me, I said, I want to tell God that I'm with him and I want my husband with him. But if not, I'll follow him, and I'll have three little boys right behind me.
Wow. What I love about your story is, like, the commitment aspect to, like, when you make a promise, like, you keep it. And it reminds me of that verse when it says, let your yes be your yes and your no be your no. And I was just studying that the other day. I'm like, why did Jesus say that? And it's basically saying, like, if you have to say, like, I promise or I swear, it makes it seem like when you say yes that you're not being truthful. It waters down your words. But when you just say yes and that's enough, and when you just say no and that's enough, there's such like a respect for you. There's such a trust. And for you, like, I think a lot of people can learn from just that commitment aspect with Jesus and with your family, with your husband. Like, when you say yes, that's a yes. Yeah. When you make a promise and a commitment, that's who you're going to follow. And I just love it. For those listening, so Alan, who she's talking about, the the young man, you know, who was, what, 9 years old at
yes.
the time?
Yeah.
He is Lisa's husband. And so Lisa and Alan, my aunt and uncle, and Lisa, y'all went through a lot of marriage stuff, too. I don't know what your best piece of advice is, but it is interesting. And I want to talk to you about your marriage, too, but I want to hear your advice first. But a lot of times, people's best piece of advice, it really does shape who they are in life. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you can look at that little thing and be like, wow, that really did stick with you, and that shows who you are. Like, what your grandma said to you, you received, and it changed who you are. And that's why I asked people.
And it never left me. It was
that question. Yeah. It's so powerful. So, Lisa, what's yours?
Well, I think probably my best piece of advice, and I got after I got married, was you know, don't let the sun go down on your anger, and mm-hmm. don't sleep back to back.
Yeah,
you
know? That's good.
Yes.
Settle your differences before you go to bed.
That's good.
Because during the night, whenever you're sleeping, Satan is working.
Yeah.
On your thoughts, and you know, he's whispering little lies in your ear, and
yeah.
And so the next day, it's worse than it was the night before.
Totally. You think you're going to sleep it off.
That's right.
It's worse. That's it gains momentum.
That's right. And I believe that's because, you know, the devil is continuously, you know, whispering and talking to you all throughout, you know, your unconscious, you know, whenever you're
totally
asleep. So that's my piece of advice that somebody told us, you know, just don't go to bed angry.
You know what's crazy about that is I remember Papa Shaq, so my great-grandpa, before he passed away, I was young. And it's almost like your grandma said to you, like, it's almost strange that he said this to me. But I remember him saying it so clearly. I was sitting in their little computer room. You know how they have the room where they have their computer in? And he walked in and he said, when you get married one day, never let the sun go down on your anger. And I was like, and it just... I think because it was so random, maybe, it stuck with me. And so I remember when Christian and I were dating, I was like, just so you know, I'm not going to let the sun go down on anger.
That's right. Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about this book, because y'all wrote a book on sisterhood together, which is so cool. I'm all about sisterhood. And for those who follow me, they know I always say I'm just trying to be a good sister and a friend. And y'all are too. Now people might see where I learned that from, this legacy of sisterhood. One of the biggest questions I get asked, like, I get this asked all the time when we open it up for Q&A, is people say, like, how do you handle mother-in-law relationships? And here you are with your mother-in-law writing a book on sisterhood.
Right.
And so tell a little bit about y'all's relationship over the years and how y'all have even grown to the place where you can write this book.
Well, when Al and I got married, I did not have a very good relationship with my own mother. It was very strained, and it was throughout our life, I think, even after I married. Alan was, you know, not who she had picked out for me, and, you know, she thought he was not good enough, you know, and, you know, and I think back on that and just think, you know, maybe I wasn't good enough for him, but, so, you know, I didn't know how to do anything. I didn't know how to cook. I didn't know how to take care of a husband. When we got kids, I didn't know really anything about raising kids. And so we lived right beside Kay and Phil. And so Kay taught me how to cook.
Wow.
And
it's a good person to learn
from. Yeah, that's right. As, you know, she's taught all of her daughter-in-laws, or she's tried.
I tried.
And failed with Corey.
I know. I was going to say, something happened with my mom.
You know, and it was, I think God knew that Willie was going to be such a good cook.
Yeah,
because
that's right.
He took that from me. I know he did.
He did.
And, of course, Phil is a wonderful cook, too. And so,
God Dad had it. We had at least one parent who...
That's right.
We had a cook who got your legacy.
And you got two mama, too. She can cook, but she doesn't do a lot of that.
Well, she only makes 5 things.
My mom joked the other day about how different you and two mama are, and she said, I'll put it like this. Mama Kay will make 3 different meals a day. Two mama has 3 different meals to choose from. Do you want sloppy joes, spaghetti, or this for the whole year, you know?
And another funny thing your mom said, she said whenever she was growing up, it wasn't... what do you want to eat? It was, where do you want to go to?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so what restaurant are we going to?
My mother-in-law doesn't cook either, but I always tell her, hey, you have a skill in knowing who to call, okay?
That's
she
right.
She knows what restaurant
exactly
to call.
Right.
To
that's
get
the same with Two Mama, and your mom learned it too.
Yeah, Two Mama got Johnny's Pizza on speed dial. I'll take it. That's hilarious.
And it's so funny, Kay, I was telling her, she was telling me that she was dropping honey off at Johnny's Pizza, and I said, well, Sadie, you're starting her off really young with Johnny's Pizza. And she said, Aunt Lisa, she does not like food, but loves Johnny's Pizza.
It's true. She is. So, I can't get her to eat anything. I put it up to her mouth. Honey literally curls her lips like, no. Then Johnny's Pizza, she starts kicking her legs.
Yeah.
She knows.
And yeah. she just eats regular pizza.
Yeah, she loves like cheese pizza. Like, she gets so excited. Nothing else. Like, yeah. I'll give her all kinds of good stuff, but cheese pizza. Let me tell you something. Yeah. That girl knows. She knows what's good.
Well, Johnny's is the best, so.
It is. So you learn how to cook from her. That's how y'all started like tethering y'all's relationship together. Mm-hmm. And then now fast forward years later and y'all are talking about sisterhood. And so why did y'all write this book together? Why did you feel like this was like an important thing for y'all to write?
You know, living right beside her, I saw so many women, you know, men and women, families, just come and go because Kay and
all
Phil Kay and Phil brought them in and they fed them and then they fed them the Word of God. Hmm. And, you know, a lot of times they left behind wet towels because they would take them down to the river and baptize
awesome.
Them. And so that's what, you know, my married years, that's all I saw.
Yeah.
So I learned what ministry was about. It was about learning. It
that's
was
awesome.
the most important thing is it's about people.
Yeah.
You know,
true.
Loving people.
True.
That's right.
And I really got that from her.
Can I say one thing? The greatest command he gives us, you know, to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Number two is love one another.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people don't seem to get how easy it is.
Yeah.
It's one another.
Yeah.
You know, they'll say, well, I just can't. Yes. God gave you the ability. To love one another.
That's so good. And it's like people always ask me, like, or they tell me, I want to do ministry one day. I'm like, why aren't you doing ministry now?
Right.
Like, ministry's not a platform. Ministry is loving God and loving people. And you're right. You can do that anywhere. You can do that with whatever you have. And I can see.
Well, they weren't paid people to be doing ministry, you know?
Yeah.
Oh.
They just loved people. So that was the reason why they did it. And that's how we grew up. I mean, and your dad too.
Yeah.
He loves ministry because he was in ministry his whole entire life.
His whole life,
you know?
Yeah. That's what I tell people. I'm like, I didn't just start ministry a few years ago when people started seeing me do ministry. I was baptizing people in bathtubs at our house at, like, you know, 15 years old.
Yeah.
Just because I love God and I love the people. And we'd sit there and we'd study the Bible and be like, who wants to get baptized? Because I saw my dad do that. I saw Papa Phil do that.
Yeah.
Saw all my family do that. And if there is a body of water, somebody's
I can tell you
under.
A real story that you don't know about your dad and Jason were studying. And really, through their high school, they were so involved in the, you know, the student part of it, you know. And so they came one night. He called me and he said, we're coming. He said, we've really been studying with some people at a group. And he said, they're all coming. So I didn't know what they're all, how many that is, you know. And so, well, you just want me to bring towels and all that? And he said, yeah, Mom, whatever, just be ready when we come. 15 kids.
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome.
Came and gave their confession and were baptized that night. I ran out of towels.
Wow, that's
awesome. I mean, it was just like, and that was Willie and Jace together.
Awesome. Yeah.
They were like, and they went through that high school so solid.
Yeah.
And so never turning their way on the, you know, the wrong
way. Awesome.
Isn't that great?
Oh, it's so powerful. And they're still doing it.
Yeah,
still,
they are.
To this day, we have people go out in our pond all the time.
Uh-huh.
We'll have people show up and go down to the river all the time.
That's right.
One of these y'all talked about in the book, speaking of ministry, and the reason we have muffins here today that you so kindly brought is because of your muffins group. And so talk a little bit about your muffins, how that started, and what that's been like.
It was, I don't know how many years ago, but I had a girlfriend in Calhoun, and she said, I just think we need some women together because you're helping me. You could help other people. I mean, why do you spend all this time with me when maybe 5 or 6 other women could be here and you could help them? So I was like, okay, I'm going to go for it. And the weirdest thing was one of the ladies that was in the first group, she had a little dress shop in Calhoun, Louisiana. And our meetings, the back room was just the little inventory and all back there. We sat on the floor on our knees in a little circle of 5 or 6 That's women. Awesome. And that is how it first started.
Wow.
And then we got so crowded in there, we decided to take it outside. So we awesome. Met with on a picnic table beside that little store and did that. And I remember us getting bigger and had to get another picnic table wow. out there. And I remember we'd get up to pray at the end and how big the circle was.
Wow. Sweet. That's awesome.
And look, it's good and it's... And it's wonderful, but I mean, 2 sisters actually had a fight there one day.
Wow.
And which I'm not good at breaking up fights at all.
I can't really see you being that person.
That's right.
But one of them said, I'm leaving. And I said, no, no, no. So I came out there and the other one was crying over there. And so I was just holding on the truck. She was supposed to drive with me hanging on the truck. And I begged her and begged her to stay. And she said, I can't, Miss Cash. And she said, please get off the truck because I'm fishing to hurt you. And, I did everything. And I said, I'm going to tell you something. I'm talking to her. And then don't worry. You'll see me today again because, we've got to get this straightened out. So I talked and comforted the girl, other one. Yeah. Got her settled. Got her. We prayed over her, and she was in a okay shape. So we said, okay. I said, okay, who's going to meet with the other ones? And I had a smaller group because some of them had to go.
Yeah.
And we went to that home and prayed with her and wow. got her settled. And it was all okay. But, I never dreamed something like that would happen.
Yeah.
But see, you cannot be surprised.
Yep.
But you've just got to see God and see that you're representing him here, what yep. would he do?
Yep.
Would he just say, well, let him go?
You got to fight for that sister.
Yes.
Good.
It's like I always told everybody, I had to fight for my marriage. And that's what many times we have to fight for our marriage, for our kids, for yep. our friends, for our sister, just all that. You really have to look at it as you're fighting for Jesus.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's good.
When you do that.
That's good. That's so good. So why the muffins? Why? How did you come up with the name?
Okay, the muffins. One of my friends said, I know what I could do. She said, I'm going to make muffins for the group,
Because it was a morning group.
Yeah. It was a morning group. And I said, yeah. And I said, well, what are we going to call ourselves? And she said, the muffin group.
she did. So it stuck.
Clever. Yeah. Hey, you know what? I have a Bible study at my house weekly on Saturdays, and we bring muffins most of the time. Uh-huh. And so maybe we're the mini muffins.
That's right.
That's what y'all could be. The mini muffins.
We have a new group name, the mini muffins.
Then we didn't bring muffins. We brought all kind of other food, but then somebody would say, why are you the muffin group? And, of course, I'd go back and tell. At that time, we would just bring muffins every time we had the group.
And today, the Well That's Good podcast got blessed with the muffins up here.
That's right.
I love it. Yeah. So I want to ask mm-hmm. y'all, because I'm sure, growing up, the Robertson family is, what is the word for the Robertson family? We're wild. They're crazy. Yeah. Okay? Like
different.
Different. Yes, yes. All words are really working for who we are as a whole. So I'm sure y'all never thought that we would be famous, that y'all would have a TV show. And now they're making a movie about y'all's life. Mm. Like, that is crazy.
I will tell you something right quick. When I was a mother and they're all there and everything, and it was so wild and so different, I told Phil one day, I said, we could make a movie about this crazy family.
Wow.
I said that. Yeah. I couldn't believe it, but it came back to me, and we laughed and laughed.
Wow, and here you are doing that.
I know.
I was actually going to ask you that, because part of it is crazy, you would never think, but then part of me feels like you were born to be famous, Mo, okay? You're just the woman for the job.
You did not know that when I was a little girl... Well, of course, I had all these animals, and I would rescue them and fix them. And so I was so proud of my animals. I had sheep. I had everything, little lambs, So I took it on myself. I had a lot of time because my parents worked all the time in their grocery store. So I would go around to all the older ladies I knew, and I knew them because my grandmother stayed with her, so they were like friends of hers. But they would often say how lonely they were. Hmm. So I would think, I'll take my animal. And so that's what I would do. I would go from house. I walked everywhere with the animal.
That's awesome.
And what mostly I took the little lambs, but sometime I might take baby chicken and have him somewhere where he wouldn't poo on me. And then I would take a cat. I would take a dog. I would always feel like I had to, you know, take something like that for him to see and talk to him. It was just like a good opening. But I just walked all over the town, and I would only pick the older women, because they were the ones that I knew were lonely.
That's so sweet.
She was doing animal therapy before animal therapy came along.
You were. See, there's goat yoga nowadays, but you had the original idea.
I did.
But right. You've always, I mean, you're a people person, and I think that's the thing. It's like, even whenever things seem so random, you're like, I would never imagine that. God's like put something in you that's prepared for it, you know? And I was thinking about whenever Duck Dynasty started, you and Alan had us over to y'all's house, and we kind of did this whole talk about like, just we're gonna stay grounded, we're gonna stay rooted in our faith, and we really did. And I was talking to Christian about that the other day, and I was like, I'm so proud of our family, like even just like Bella and Will and like my little siblings, and then all of us and all of y'all, that like nobody, you know, went off the deep end, you know, everybody was really grounded in faith. And I mean, proud is the word, but also, I mean, I know that was by the grace of God. And everybody had journeys, everybody had ups and downs, but for the most part, just remain like in love with God. So what do you think are some of the keys to, you know, when you get famous, how to navigate that? Because right now in today's day and age, a lot of people are getting famous. Like, you can get TikTok famous in one day, you know, you can be on The Bachelor, you know, just because you get selected. You can hit a reality TV show, you can, you know, be Instagram famous. There's like all these ways to get famous. And I think that people's motive maybe going in is what steers them in the wrong direction when they get there. But what are some like, I don't know, tips of advice for people to get famous who really want to stay grounded?
Well, I think one thing is you got to remember where you came from.
You got to
remember who put you in this position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as a Robertson family, the whole of us, we always felt as though this was a gift from God.
Yep.
And
no doubt that
what He gave us was a platform for us to proclaim Him.
Yeah.
Not us.
Yeah.
It was not about us. It was all about Him. And He opened doors, I mean, so many doors for all of us, especially for you. I mean, you know, with you speaking to, wasn't it in a year you spoke to over a million teens or something? I mean, it was unbelievable. So,
you know, Phil
God
told
did
that in his sermon one night.
Yeah.
I think he said, when it was a Sunday, and he said, talking about Sadie, talking about, he was trying to preach about everybody. It doesn't, they think there is one evangelist, one preacher, one, and that's who does everything. He said, not at all. He said, I'm going places, all my family, and he said, my little granddaughter, Sadie, she talked to 500,000 people. Yeah. What, you know, all over,
it's
everywhere.
Divide and conquer.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly
when
right.
you're a family, whenever you, it's like the Bible talks about, like, we're one body. Like, what's the arms without the legs? You know, like,
that's
one
exactly right.
body. When one thing succeeds, it all succeeds. And one part's honored, it's all honored. When one part hurts, it all hurts. And that's so true. Like, our family has kind of done that. That's powerful.
Yeah.
And I think, that's what I told somebody. They said, Sadie, like, how do you think you didn't, you know, lose your mind whenever you went to Hollywood or did all the stuff? And I said, well, I think I can see why people do, and I can see how people do.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
me
fame
too.
Is crazy. It can make you go crazy too.
That's right.
But one thing I said is I didn't do it alone. Like, most people that get famous, it's they feel alone because it's them that's highlighted.
Right.
And for me, I had 30 family members who are going through the exact same thing. And so I didn't feel super different, you know, like we all were doing it together. And in some cases, there are moments of that isolating feeling or that lonely feeling of no one understands or no one gets it. But then at the end of the day, I'm like, but really my family does. And I think if you get in that situation, like remembering where you come from and keeping your people, making sure your people understand, like, my life is changing, but I'm not changing. Like, my life is crazy, but like, I need my people. Like, just being honest and being where you're at is so important.
And I think also, Sadie, the people that you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
You know, true. The people that work for you, or the people that you're friends with, the people you hang out with. If they're not good, strong Christian people, then a lot of times you may follow them down the wrong path. But, I mean, when you did Dancing with the Stars, you had two mama with you, you know, your grandmother who, you know, stuck by your side the whole time.
Yep.
And so then you had your mom and dad on speed dial, you know, FaceTime and, you know, and so I believe it also has to do with who you surround yourself
it's
with.
It's very true. Yeah, that's I remember, I've never told this story publicly, and this is just funny because I'm sure people will take this and run with it. But I remember when I was on Dance with the Stars, and when you're in LA, like, you just get invited to all these different things because you're kind of in the bubble. And I remember everyone on the cast got invited to J-Lo's Halloween party.
Oh, wow.
And I remember thinking, like, that's interesting. Like, I could go to J-Lo's Halloween party, but my grandma wants me to go watch Survivor with her. And I literally went and watched Survivor with my grandma. And everyone's probably like, why would you not go to J-Lo's Halloween party? But for me, I was 17 years old. Right. I knew, like, that is not a wise decision for me to go to this party. I just knew. It's just, for me, that was not going to lead me to do good things.
Right.
And so I stayed home with two mama, and she made pastaroni and cornbread from a box. Pastaroni and cornbread from a box when we watch Survivor. And I don't regret that. Like, I really don't.
Right.
And I think it's like in those decisions, it really shapes your life. And people don't realize that one yes leads down a path and one no leads down a path. And that's why your yes and your no's are really important in life. And, you know, people might say, well, what? You missed out on a really cool opportunity. And maybe I did, but I had a heck of a night. And when I look back at that season of my life, I don't regret moments. You know, I'm just like, that was fun. Like, it was actually a good time. And so,
and there's nothing. There's nothing that you miss there, though.
No.
You know? I mean, your life has been great and full, and, I mean, not saying you haven't had your struggles, because we all have struggles.
Totally.
We're all human.
Totally.
But at the same time, you haven't missed anything.
Totally.
I mean, you know, God has given you exactly what you
feel
need.
Like I lack.
At every point in your life.
So true. Yeah. That's good. So I did have a question come in from an anonymous fan. And they wanted to know from Miss K, they wanted to know if you could cook a meal for Jesus. What meal would you cook?
You don't know how many times I've been asked that. And the last time I was asked that, I remember I said, well, everybody loves my chicken and dumplings.
That's right. That's
I just
right.
cook them for everything. And then I started going back. And really what I was thinking is what all y'all liked is the family, you know, my favorite dishes and all. And I said, now, I can make Mexican cornbread, but it's not quite as good as Lisa's. But I could do that. And then I would just name everything. And I said, but I'd have to give him a dessert. And, you know, would he like a pie or would he, you know. So I was just out with it, just different things that I cooked. I was just like, he's the most important, but I, you know, I would treat him that way.
Yeah, the best of the best.
Yes. That's right.
Well, that was a good question for you. And then they also had a question for you, Lisa. What is the most random assortment of foods that you could ever put together?
Now, I know who your anonymous person that asked this question is.
And who might that be?
Your dad.
My dad.
And I'll explain that. We were at the fair one year.
I remember that.
And so they had these kebabs, and it was chicken and onion and bell pepper and maybe those little tomatoes.
Yeah.
And they roasted them,
on a stick.
And they were all on a stick together, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, so Al and I got one of those, and we were eating it. And so a news person came by, you know, wanting, and Alan was at the bathroom. So I'm just like, I don't want to answer this, but, you know. And so he said, so what's the most interesting thing, you know, that you've had here at the fair? Because he was in the food section, you know. And I said, well, it's just a lot of different things you don't normally eat together. Your dad read that. And I'm telling you, that's been 25 years ago.
It's before I was born.
Yeah.
He's still talking about it.
You
my
know?
Dad, it's like, I hate
he
it for people.
He doesn't forget anything.
Because I've been with friends over at my house where they'll say something embarrassing. And, you know, I would like to say to them, it's okay. Like, it's okay. It's not a big deal. But what I have to say to them is my dad will literally bring that up every time you see him for at least the next 10 years of your life.
And then his poor son-in-laws.
All the things he calls them. It's bad. So, okay, I got to ask y'all about growing up with my dad. Because my dad, if you watch the show, you didn't really see my dad's full personality. Because, you know, he was the boss. And that was a lot of what the show highlighted. But he's crazy. So what was he like as a little boy?
Well, he was so funny. Mm-hmm. He was always funny. I will remember that. I remember a trip when he was 3 years old. I went to El Dorado, Arkansas. We lived at Junction City at the time. And I remember taking it. We shopped at Walmart and was coming home. And we were just not far from home. And I looked at him. And, of course, he was standing because they didn't have seatbelts right beside me at the car, you know. And I said, "Where did you get that hat?" I just now noticed he had a baseball hat on, and he didn't have one. I mean, and he said, "At the store."
Oh, no.
And I said, "Well, I didn't pay for it." He said, "They just gave it to me." I said, "Did you ask anybody?" And he said, "No, I didn't see them."
Oh, no.
I mean, he was going to, okay, his first steal. Yeah.
He's hilarious. Like, people that meet him are like, "Your dad's the funniest person I've ever met. I didn't know that." I'm like, "No, he really is." Like, he's hilarious. He's like he's really like a comedian. But he says the thing that no one else would say because everyone else would say, "That's rude. That's too far." But he just says it, and it is rude and too far. I wonder who gets that from.
Yeah. Would it be his dad sometimes saying things that nobody else would say?
That's really what he was saying.
But did I ever tell you about all the times he ran away from home?
No. So that's funny because Bella ran away from home once, so maybe Bella gets that.
He ran away from home about 15 times.
No.
About every 2 weeks.
No.
Yeah, he did it. And you know, anytime he disagreed or got mad at us, that's what he did, ran away.
How far would he go?
Well, that's what's hilarious because I knew he wouldn't go there. I just knew him. I knew he didn't go there. It was all directions. But a lot of times over the hill behind us, that's where he went.
He built a fort out there.
No. Yeah, and then he would go down the road.
It's just a little bit dramatic.
Oh, yes, just all the time. Yeah. And then I tell you what got him back. I didn't worry. I didn't run looking. I was just cool about it. And then I would fix fried chicken. And this is really a true thing. And I'd say, "Phil, when he smells this, he'll be back." And I put a fan in the kitchen to blow the smell up.
I hope that's in the movie. That's hilarious.
And then he'd come back. Because sometimes he'd pack like a hobo. He'd have his stick on it with a bag of his clothes.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
That's
and he should have had a camera and taken pictures.
I wish.
And he would, he'd come in and I said, "Oh, you're back." And he said, "What are you cooking?" You know, because all of a sudden, whatever meant so much to him to run away, that smell of fried chicken and all the other smells that were coming out.
I think that'd still work for him.
Yeah.
I think he'd still come running for fried chicken.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Well, one day we were all on the family vacation and we had a legitimate conversation over the dinner table over who out of me, John Luke, and Bella are the most dramatic. And I was like, even the fact that we're actually having this conversation shows that we have a father who is very dramatic.
Exactly right.
And it's poor.
And he's always been like that.
And you know what's funny is whenever I came into the family. Of course, I'm only, about 6.5 years older than Willie.
Yeah.
And so when I came in the family, he was, 11 or 12.
Yeah.
And so he would move all the time. Like, they all lived together in a back room.
No.
And then he would move. Like, he went down to the cook shack. And
outside,
he fixed it. Yeah, no walls.
What?
Where they clean fish now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he would go out there. He'd fix it all up. He'd hang curtains.
Painted it bright blue.
Yeah. Take all of his stuff out there. And so that's where he moved to.
That is hilarious.
All right. So then he would go to another place.
How about the metal storage building in
the
back?
So right behind her house,
she had his bed there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he would have a makeshift bed.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't move his bed. So he would move back there. I mean, he moved all over the property.
Granny's porch.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That is hilarious.
I mean, he was always leaving and moving.
That's right.
What would it be like? Okay, so Aunt Lisa, whenever, finally, when Missy and Mom came into the picture, Jessica, what would be a family dinner? What would that look like? Does it look like it does now, or were the boys, so much crazier when y'all were younger?
I would say probably they were a lot crazier then. Yeah. And they argued a lot.
Really?
During those dinners.
I feel like they're probably really loud. Because they're still loud. Yeah. It's like the loudest person wins the conversation. And so when you're all together with the Robinsons, it's like...
And they played games, you know, all the time. Cards, dominoes. So, yeah, they were always
very loud. Phil and them and the boys played dominoes, they wouldn't just put the domino. It's just slam, slam. Slam.
Well, for those of you who don't know who are listening, Phyllis, for how many years y'all did it?
44 years.
4 years. Yeah. Phil, you know, you thought y'all had four boys, and then all of a sudden, 44 years later, they get a letter, and turns out that this woman was saying that she thinks she's Phil's daughter. And, you know, at first, I'm sure y'all are thinking, no way. That's crazy.
Because there's been several.
Because there's been several people who have done that. And, that's part of fame, too. But this one was really legitimate. So they took a DNA test, and it was a 99.999 match.
Right.
And so but y'all welcomed her in so beautifully. We all did. And I think that was so cool. One thing that y'all are so good at is just accepting change and, like, going with it. And I think that in order to do that, you have to be rooted in who you are in Christ, you know, to even be able to allow, like, change to happen through you or around you. And y'all are so good at that. I love how you mentioned, like, thank you for choosing life. And, like, you preach about that a lot. You do so much for that. I want to hear a little bit about your passion for that, because that's a conversation that a lot of people don't talk about, and you've been really bold in that.
Well, at 16, I had chosen, you know, a lot of wrong things in my life. And at 16, I was dating someone and found out that I was pregnant. And so went and talked with my parents. We decided that abortion would be the best thing to do, which I'd never heard of that. I didn't know what it was.
I never knew that either when I was a teenager. I didn't even know it was available. I didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
The word, I didn't know.
Wow.
It.
Right.
That's crazy how much times have changed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so... my mom and my dad, you know, both told me it's not a baby, it's just a glob of tissue, and they just take it out, you know. And so I went and had an abortion, you know, at 16 years old. And it was a very dark time, you know. And so now, and, you know, I think I always knew that we were wrong about that, because why else would I have the guilt and the shame of that?
And think about it every day. Remember how you said you think about it every day?
Wow.
But, you know, when I was at the abortion clinic, they told me three things that day that were lies, just straight up lies. One was, it's just a glob of tissue. And we know now, you know, scientifically, that the life begins at conception.
Yeah.
The second lie they told me was, once you leave here, your body will be fine, and, you know, you'll heal up in a couple of days, you'll be good as new.
Really?
Again, that was a lie.
Wow.
I had two pregnancies, Anna and Alex. Anna was a premature baby, you know, weighed a pound and 15 ounces.
Wow.
Then Alex almost came 4 months early. And then the third baby I lost.
Wow.
You know, so I had a miscarriage. So something that they did to me... you know, messed up my female reproductive organs. So anyway, and then the third lie, is probably the one that is the biggest lie. And it was that when you leave here, Lisa, don't even think about this anymore. And of course I say, Lisa, they didn't call me by my name. I was just a number.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
But you never have to think about this again. Just go on and live your life and put this behind you.
Wow.
And, you know, that's been 40 years ago because I'm 56. So that means that for 40 years I have thought about that.
Wow. Every day.
Every day.
Wow.
And so my passion now is to just tell people that those are lies.
Yeah.
That is a lie.
Yeah.
You know, whenever you have an abortion, you take a life. I took a life. But not only one life, I took generations of lives.
Wow.
Because I took my child's life, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. And so we need to know that abortion is a lie.
Yeah.
We need to know what it is.
Yeah.
But that's just it. They won't let us say what abortion is.
Yeah.
You know, they won't let you show what abortion is.
Yeah. It gets shut down.
That's exactly. I put something on my Facebook one day about this guy that was going around and he was saying, do you believe, or, you know, are you pro-life or pro-choice?
Yeah.
And so he interviewed like four or five people, and they were all pro-choice. Mm-hmm. So then he shows them a video that this guy does of an abortion. Now, it's not on a baby. It's of like a simulation.
Yeah.
You know? And he shows all of them that. And he comes back afterwards and says, did that move you any? Are you still pro-life? I mean, pro-choice, or are you pro-life now? Every one of them changed their mind.
Wow.
Because they saw that video. They saw what it is. Yeah. And they saw the truth.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I believe that God redeemed me. Totally. And to have a voice.
Totally.
And my roar is to let people know that abortion is wrong. You can be redeemed from it, though.
Yeah.
And you will have the mm-hmm. regret, but God can take the shame of it. I'll regret what I did for the rest of my life, mm-hmm. But I no longer live in shame.
That's awesome.
And guilt, because God took all of that.
Yeah.
But we need people to know.
Yeah.
And so awesome. My roar is about being pro-life and pro-love, because awesome. For so many people, we've not been nice about
exactly.
it, you know?
I
so
love
we
that.
Have to love people where they are. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's post-abortive. Sometimes it's before they have an abortion, but we've got to love them where they are and tell them the truth.
Yeah. Have true empathy and compassion to where they are. I love how, like, that's Jesus right. and all the scripture, he had so much compassion mm-hmm. on everyone, no matter what they were doing, no matter right. if they were super sinful or super sick or whatever mm-hmm. it was. Like, so
or
much
super
compassion.
Self-righteous.
Super self-righteous.
Yeah.
All across the board. Like, he had enough compassion to sit with them and love them and mm-hmm. be with them and then ultimately die for them
right.
and give hope and redemption for them. And that's the same for us today. And man, it's just so good. Y'all, this has been such a good conversation. I could talk to y'all forever. We've already gone an hour, so I guess we should stop. But this has just been so, so good.
You'll have
good.
To have us back.
I will. I like, maybe this is going to have to be a two-part thing.
Because I didn't think of all kinds of things.
I know. We just got to so much of the good stuff, and we haven't even tapped into all of it. But hey, guys, if y'all listen to this and you love this conversation, you can find a lot of different things that they've written. They both have books. They have done the I'm Not Ashamed, which I am second videos that are so good. They are on Phil's podcast some, but also they have a new book out called Sister Roar that you should go get right now. I actually had the privilege of writing the foreword to it, and man, there's just so much whoa, that's good advice in here and on this podcast. So y'all, I guess I'm gonna have to have y'all back for part two, another hour special. But I love you guys. Thanks for being on my podcast.
Too sweet.
So good.